everyone. Hang on.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
All right, and hello, and welcome back to Star Wars Rebels Recon, another Four Midwest Guys Presents production. With me this morning is Zankenbauer. Brian, say hi.
What's up, man?
Not much. Welcome aboard. And also with me is my brother Aaron. Aaron, say hello.
Hi.
Hi. All right. So, guys, today we're going to cover two episodes. Today we're going to cover Episode 2 in Rebels, Lost Commanders, as well as Episode 3, which is Relics of the Old Republic. So, got a lot to get into. I think we'll just go ahead and get started, guys, right into Season 2, Episode 2 of Lost Commanders. We kind of find our Rebels at the beginning. Here they have to find Captain Rex because Ahsoka needs, they said they need new allies to find a base, so... So it kind of sends them out looking for Rex, and she uses kind of another little... There's a lot of... If anybody ever watched the Clone Wars, there's a lot of homages to the show, and right off the bat we get to see a relic from the Clone Wars, whether you watch the movie... Well, it's actually more just in the cartoon series. They use a tactical droid to help find Captain Rex. I thought this was kind of cool. It's a little bit of a throwback. These tactical droids were kind of like robotic commanders that they faced on the robot ships. Forgive me, the droid army ships. So I don't know. Do you guys like that, or do you think it was interesting, Aaron? I'll let you take a.
It was a nice, you know, kind of throwback to, like, the older Clone Wars episodes, and throughout the entire episode, you do see quite a few moments of it, and it was interesting.
Yeah. Brian?
I never saw the Clone Wars.
That's right.
But you could tell that there was some kind of, they even paused a couple times, like, when they were talking about certain things, you could tell it was like letting the audience realize that they were talking about a different show.
Yeah, they kind of go over some things a few times and kind of slows the pace down a bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was just kind of cool. It's kind of a little throwback for us. So they use the droid, and the droid, they're able to track him down. I believe it was Celo on the world. A world we've never seen before, kind of like a desert planet, kind of sort of. So they find him, and it turns out that Rex and Wolf and Gregor, who are the three clones, have made an Old Republic battle tank as a home. It's so if you ever saw, even if you saw Episode 2 of Star Wars in the movies, these were the precursors to the AT-AT, or as some people like to call them, the AT-AT walkers. It was a Republic tank, and they modified this thing into, they were actually living in it. So it was literally just kind of walking across the I guess you'd call it a desert, or maybe a plateau or salt one of those kind of things. So we see them kind of walking around, and they've kind of made a hole in them out of it. They've kind of retrofitted it. They've added a landing platform, and it's just kind of their house, right? I don't know. I thought this was kind of neat, kind of another throwback to the Clone Wars. Aaron, what did you think about that?
It was nice. It kind of has kind of like a trailer version of like Howl's Moving Castle sort of thing to it, and just it's kind of interesting seeing it before they kind of go in like evasive maneuvers for it later on.
Yeah. Now, Brian, I know you say you never saw the Clone Wars, but you saw Attack of the Clones. So, did you recognize it right off the bat?
It was familiar. I couldn't place where I'd seen it from. I haven't seen the prequels in a while.
Right.
But I did like it. It was, you know, that's what the first thing I thought of was the AT-ATs. And,
yeah.
You know, looking at it, it looked like it had fishing poles all over the side.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, it's walking through a desert, and you're like, what the heck is it fishing for?
Right, right. And that we'll get to that in a minute.
Uh-huh.
So we get to, you know, Kanan, they meet each other, and right off the bat, I mean, Kanan, even before they walk up to the AT-AT, or the Republic tank, he not only does he recognize it as a Republic tank, but he tells Ezra to be on guard. And almost right from the get-go, as soon as Kanan finds out that they're clones, when Rex introduces himself and he figures out they're clones, he immediately pulls out his lightsaber. Obviously, a lot of mistrust there. Seems to go back to Order 66. Apparently, I guess, when we find out that in the episode that clones murdered his Jedi master right in front of him. So, definitely a lot of mistrust, a very interesting story plot, I think, that will develop as we go forward. But obviously, you know, Kanan's having to deal with that and just dealing with that whole thing. So, brings up the whole Jedi used to work with the clones, and now there's a lot of mistrust, obviously. So, very interesting. I really kind of like the twist there and how they're incorporating the past, you know, into the series, and just that's kind of making it like how it would be, right? So, Ankenbauer, what'd you think?
Yeah, I like the fact, you know, we got a little bit of a backstory for those of us that hadn't seen anything else, and it was odd because even when they showed all three of them, you thought to yourself that they looked awfully similar.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as they said they're clones, you're like, ah, of course they are. you know, I didn't know how this was going to play out, not having seen anything else prior, like the Clone Wars or anything.
Right.
And I was curious how they were, you know, why would three clones be living on a planet together, and why are they going to help, you know, these three clones? In previous, you know, we didn't think the clones were anything. They were just replicas of...
Yeah, Jango Fett, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty cool. Aaron, what'd you think? I mean...
It was kind of interesting seeing some of the clones as they were kind of older and aged, and you kind of have that, like, old war veteran sort of thing going for it. And you also have the clones have kind of a concern about Kanan being there as a Jedi and having some paranoia about that. It kind of feels like they rushed through a lot of the mistrust issues within these two episodes, though. Like, it kind of seems like they kind of got it out of the way, more or less.
Yeah, I think that they flushed through it a little bit quickly, and I don't know if that's because we only have 21 minutes, you know. Essentially, you know, when you take out the commercials and stuff, they've only got 21 minutes to tell a story. But, yeah, I agree. They did kind of rush through it a little bit. But it is an interesting thing, and I think even beyond these two episodes, I think it'll probably come back up is my guess, just because it's such a deep issue, you know, for Kanan and having to deal with all that and having to deal whether they can trust the clones going forward. So,
yeah.
But they did, you know, but we'll see. One other thing we do find out is a little bit more of a backstory on what happened to the clone army. We find out that the Emperor, according to Rex, kind of retired the clone army and kind of called them obsolete. That was an interesting little twist and tidbit because we never really knew before. This is kind of our first, our first glimpse into what happened. And I thought that was interesting because I would have... I don't know, maybe it's just because I see, obviously, the Emperor is the most sinister thing in that ever, that he didn't have the clones killed off. It's kind of a big loose end, you would think, because they put those control chips in their heads to do Order 66, right? So, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't care anymore. I'm not sure if that's the case, because he's now in control and it doesn't matter. What do you guys think, Aaron?
Well, if a lot of the clones still have the control chips, it probably wouldn't be an issue if they survived or not, or so many of them probably died in the Order of 66 anyway, so it might not really been that much big a deal, if depending on how many were actually left. And in terms of not creating more clones and going to just regular soldiers, maybe just a cost-effective sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess what I'm getting at is I don't, you know, from the bigger perspective, right, that he's taken over the galaxy. And to me, it just seems like kind of a big loose end. So I don't know. Do you think he's really hiding it anymore? Maybe he just doesn't care anymore. Like, it was always about the leading up through the prequels. It was always about hiding himself and kind of, you know, building all this stuff up. You know, what do you think?
Well, after a certain point, he's just kind of being openly referring to himself as the Emperor and kind of ruling pretty openly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, from a PR point of view, you could always just say the clones became defective.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting. You know, we find out, you know, when Kanan's talking about how the clones turned on everybody, and you're like, why would the clones turn? And then they're talking about the chips in everybody's head that made them do it. And then he says, oh, don't worry, we got rid of ours. And then you're like, oh, okay, so now they're free-thinking clones, you know, with their own personalities. And it kind of gives them more of a that human touch, you know what I mean, that human aspect.
Right.
So you don't think of them as really so much clones anymore as more people.
Right. So what do you think? Do you think were you surprised to hear that the Emperor kept him alive? Or would you think he would be more inclined to kill him? Or do you think he just
to be honest, I don't even think that the Emperor kept them alive. I just think those three happened to make it out.
Survive.
And survived.
That's a good point. We don't know yet. That is a very good point. Something to think about.
Because, I mean, he did hand him a whole list of bases and stuff.
That's true. That's very true. So, maybe they were, we'll find out, maybe they did get turned on and these guys just happened to survive somehow. So, also one of the scenes in this I liked, they kind of decided to use Zeb as a bait to catch, I guess we kind of find out did they call it slinging or something like that? Anyway, that basically they go fishing for a giant worm. and apparently these worms like to eat Zeb's species, so they kind of throw him out there as bait. I thought it was a funny moment, and I also kind of thought Gregor was kind of taking advantage of the situation, and he did. And it kind of goes back to Gregor's personality. He's kind of a nutcase, but he doesn't seem to have any disregard for Zeb's safety.
Oh yeah, he definitely seems like he has a bunch of screws loose in his head.
Yeah,
they all seem kind of comfortable throwing him out there as bait.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like a commander. He's one of the commando troopers, apparently. So we're told, you know, in the backstory or whatever. It's not actually in the episode, but he's one of the elite commando troopers, so I wonder if, you know, maybe he went off the deep end here, but yeah, he has no disregard for Zeb's safety at all and just throws him out there, and sure enough, the worm, you know, eats him, and then they've got bait, and all of a sudden that's how they catch the worm is because you know, they used Zeb as bait. And luckily, he survived, but I don't know.
But after he, you know, kind of realized he did a good job of it, he seemed kind of happy about the whole thing.
Yeah, he kind of, Gregor kind of tapped into Zeb's warrior mentality and kind of, you know. Yeah, obviously Zeb really seems to like these guys, and everybody else seems to like these guys, and it's only Kanan that kind of seems to have a problem. I don't know. What'd you think, Brian?
Yeah, it was funny because it was like Zeb was pissed off,
mm-hmm.
just as everybody else was, that he was used as bait, and then Gregor's like, "But you caught him! Look what you did! You caught him!" And he's like, "Oh, I did, didn't I? Yeah, I did!" And then he gets all excited that and forgets that he was the bait.
Yeah, it was really funny. I really enjoyed it. So we also find out that that Rex and the other clones apparently did not betray their Jedi. Now, from Rex's standpoint, being part of the 501st, that's kind of a, well, duh moment, because his Jedi was Anakin Skywalker, because Anakin's legion is the 501st. And it's also Darth Vader's, by the way. So, you know, to me it was kind of like, well, yeah, you know, of course they didn't, because Anakin became Darth Vader and they didn't have to kill him. Also one of the things I've noticed is through both of these episodes, they don't use Anakin by name. They just refer to him as a Jedi or a general, which I thought was kind of interesting. Brian, what do you think about that?
Well, I was going to ask you that. Why is it that they're not using his name?
I don't know yet. I don't know if they're just trying to build it up for something later on down the road, or, you know, because we're still not sure how the galaxy views Anakin Skywalker. You know, is he looked on as somebody who died, you know, during the Clone Wars, or somebody who just disappeared? You know, we're not sure. Aaron, what do you think?
Well, kind of keeping how they refer to, like, Vader or Anakin a bit more vague probably allows for them to kind of go into more backstory later on. So it might just be a pacing thing.
It could be. I just think it's interesting because it's like, why would, you know, you would think if he's the greatest Jedi ever, or, you know, or at least according to Rex anyway, that he would be using his name more. It's just,
well,
I don't know.
I mean, you can make that argument, even through the original, like, films, that they don't really refer to him as Anakin anymore. Like, he goes by Vader after a certain point.
True. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. I guess they're going to build it up. I don't know. I'm not real sure why they're not using it. It's just very interesting to me. So I'm hoping it pays off as something bigger. So speaking of, Anakin and betraying the Jedi, and we find out that there's another betrayal. Wolf betrays the rebels. He turns them in by sending a message to the Empire. When they find out about it, Rex kind of confronts him, and he kind of just kind of gets a slap on the wrist, and very quickly, kind of like you were talking about earlier, Aaron, he just goes, they're not my enemies. I mean, it was kind of a real quick change of pace. I don't know.
It's almost like a senior moment sort of thing.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't have done that, huh?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. They're not our enemies. I'm like, okay.
It was almost like he did it out of fear. It was like he has more fear of the Empire than he does of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because you could see he's like, but he's a Jedi, and they'll destroy us, blah blah blah, talking about the Empire if he finds out that they're working with a Jedi.
Yeah,
it plays to that whole how much people fear the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. So that's a good point, Brian. So I didn't think about that. So maybe that was his whole motivation, and maybe explains why he. His quick change of heart, too. I don't know. But I thought it was a little bit weak. But again, it could just be limitations of only having 21 minutes to flesh out a story. But just another reason why I've always think these episodes should be at least an hour long. Yeah, I know this is going a bit off script, but what do you guys think? Do you think it should be more than 21 minutes long per episode?
I don't know if it needs to be that. I think if it was an hour long...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we would have the need for a show every week.
Mm.
Kind of like how they did with that, what was that Lego one?
Oh, yeah, the one they got Droid Tales now, but...
Yeah, Droid Tales. Okay, so, like, that's not every... That's, like, a... That, are those an hour long?
I don't know if they're hours or not, to be honest. I know it's, like, a mini-series, though. It's not really, like, a weekly
deal. Right, so, like, yeah, so it, like, I've noticed that the, each episode of that is, like, an entire movie.
Mm.
When you're, you know, when they're going through it, making spoofs and stuff.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what we would get if we did Rebels as an hour-long show. We'd get more of the entire episode, you know, the entire thing in one shot instead of, like, two episodes. How they've done, like, episode one and two was a continuation of two, you know.
Right.
But it had part of the third one in it. We wouldn't have those lap over. I think it would be straight cut.
Yeah.
Like, this was the battle here, and then as it finishes, that's when it would fade, and then it'd open up a next one where we wouldn't even be, you would be on, in space, and then they'd have another, I don't, to be perfectly honest, I don't know if I could watch it for an hour straight.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I maybe it's just because I don't know, I'm always wanting more of the backstory, being the Star Wars geek I am, I guess. I'm always wanting, I would have liked them to explore this more. I don't know. Aaron, what do you think?
I think unless they kind of want to go with a more Netflix model where, like, each episode is just however long as the story depends on it.
Yeah.
Like, a 20-minute kind of episode allows it to be more flexible depending on, like, what story they want to tell that week. Because you can always do a to-be-continued thing.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, go with a longer story, or if, you know, you want to focus on something that runs a bit long. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, if you want to have, like, a one-off episode where it's just, you know, a little bit of backstory or what have you, like, a 20-minute episode might be fine for it.
Mm. I guess. I guess I'm just a little, I don't know. I guess I'm always wanting more. And I'm always like, oh, man, it's already over. Or I'll happen to be fast-forwarding through commercials because I DVR because I work second shift, and I'll be like, oh, man, I've only got, like, 10 minutes left.
Yeah, it goes pretty quickly for some of the episodes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just a kid in me coming out again going, no. Okay, so this episode kind of ends with the Empire ends up sending a probe droid, and, you know, it messes with the... It disables the Phantom, the pod off of the Ghost, and we get to see Rex back in action. He's able to, from long range, he kind of takes out the droid from far distance away. So we kind of get kind of a moment of welcome back, Rex, and welcome back, you know, back to action, so to speak, and kind of takes a little satisfaction in that. It was a nice scene. Obviously, they're setting us up for the next episode, and, you know, showing that the Rebels are stuck now, and you know, the Empire is coming. What'd you guys think about this one, Ankabauer?
I like the episode. I don't know if I watched them back to back.
Yeah.
So I've almost found that it's easier to do that way.
Mm.
Like you said, it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So even when you play two of them, it's only 40 minutes, which is still only about a half-hour show.
Right.
Exactly. I would give this one probably a B+, A-.
Okay.
You know, just because it was able to, you know, with me not watching Clone Wars, it did give me a little bit of the backstory that I follow it along just like everybody else.
Right, so, you know, that's a good point, because you don't have to watch The Clone Wars to watch Rebels, so it's just, if you have watched it, it just kind of deepens it, and you recognize a few more things, so it's a little bit more enjoyable. But for those of you out there who are wondering whether I have to go back and watch The Clone Wars, you don't. Rebels, you can just simply just sit there and watch it and know exactly what's going on without having to see the Clone Wars. Aaron, what did you think of the episode?
It wasn't bad. It was a little bit more slower paced than some of the other episodes, and it kind of seems like it's more or less just kind of setting up for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some interesting bits, in between. So it was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a pretty good episode. I enjoyed it. Obviously, I'm enjoying the clones, and I'm getting a little of the satisfaction out of it because we all know that Clone Wars was the cartoon series was, they pulled the plug on it and before they really had a chance to wrap it up. So it's kind of nice to see it move on in Rebels. So, all right, guys. Well, that brings us up to Season 2, Episode 3, Relics of the Old Republic. So this one, we start off, the Empire shows up. One of the things I found kind of funny on this episode right around, the Star Destroyer comes out of hyperspace. The Ghost is like right there, right in front of him. Maybe not right in front of him, but just right below him. And all Hera has to do is shut everything down, shuts down Chopper, and they can't see her. They can't see the Ghost, and they don't, and even the TIE fighters fly by. And they don't see it. So it's either these guys are incredibly nearsighted or farsighted, I should say, because they can't see something close up, or they just did it for the sake of storytelling. I thought it was a little strange. What do you guys think, Ankenbauer?
No, yeah, I mean, that was kind of hokey. I was like, I'm fairly positive that I could see a spaceship
just floating
out there. Because it's not like she was floating in debris or space junk.
Right. She's just on
she was floating by herself.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, the fact that she... It was like, I don't know, if one of the writers used to work for the cable company or whatnot, you know, just power down, power up kind of thing. but I thought that was kind of hokey, too. And she, not only did she power herself down, but she also powered down...
Chopper.
Yeah, Chopper. I was like, okay... I'm not sure, but then she's able later to turn him on, but use low power.
Right, right. And
I was like, oh, okay. What? I thought you could just use your what was the scrambler or whatever, and they can't read the signal.
Yeah, I thought that's what was going to happen there again. I thought she was going to scramble some signal and say she was some different ship, and that was going to be the end of it. But, yeah, it was just weird. I was like, okay, I'll buy the scanning thing for a moment, but the fact that it's just floating out there, right, like you said, no debris, nothing around her to hide behind, and then they just fly right by it and just leave it there? I don't know. I mean, the planet kind of looks desolate anyway, like there's hardly anybody on it, if anybody at all, right? So, I don't know. I had a hard time buying that one. Aaron, what'd you think?
Well, I think the idea of powering down was just so the energy signal wouldn't be picked up on some sort of scan or something, right?
Right, I got that. It was just the visual part.
Yeah, I mean, visually from where it shoots in the camera, it looks kind of weird, but you don't know how the lighting from various stars and planets kind of works. Mm-hmm. Also, this is a galaxy that's had multiple, wars, so it's very possible you just have abandoned ships from, near planets from time to time. Either that or just you have couriers or, transport ships that kind of just break down and just kind of die off in the middle of space. So it could be something even if they noticed that they wouldn't pay much attention to, depending on how common it is.
Right, so the other thing I was thinking is if she was able to turn off her power and not be found, how come the clones didn't turn off the tank?
And not be able to be found,
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's they're visually there. They've already got a picture from the probe droid, so they know what they're looking for, maybe. I don't know. But that's a good point, though, to you, Aaron. I hadn't thought about the Clone Wars ravaging the galaxy and there just being space junk everywhere. So, maybe they just... I don't know. To me, the Ghost doesn't look much like space junk, but, you never know. So... There's maybe one criticism so far I have of the show, so but I can let it go, I guess. So next we see Rex kind of telling the Empire bring it on, and I thought this was kind of a cool line. He goes, "I hope you brought a better class of soldier than a stormtrooper." I thought that was kind of cool line. Thought we'd talk about this one for just a brief second because I just like the line. I mean, he's obviously you know, saying it's a mock at the stormtrooper who is not a clone trooper, and obviously saying he's superior and that they're superior. Angenbauer, what you think?
Yeah, I laughed a little bit at that one. You know, knowing what we know about stormtroopers and how they can't hit the broadside of a barn.
Right, exactly.
And watching these clones, you know, act and, you know, actually, you know, it just seems like it's, like you said, it's a superior thing. Like, I would, if I was going into battle, I'd rather have clones than I would rather, you know, than stormtroopers.
Right. Right. Aaron, what'd you think?
It was a funny line. A little egotistical, but kind of fits the character well.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was, I liked it too, because obviously, you know, these clone troopers are battle hardened. They fought a war, and, you know, stormtroopers, well, they're kind of rushed through the academy, I guess, and not very well trained. So just shows you the difference, and just kind of a fun line, and some gives you something to pause to think about for a minute. So, we see Gregor shows off his skills, I guess, as an elite commando trooper, and he shoots down the TIE fighter. There's another reference to Anakin as the greatest Jedi ever, as Rex is talking to Ezra, you know, saying, you know, my Jedi was the greatest Jedi ever, and he said, you know, lead, you know, take the lead by doing or something like that, and I don't know. So there it is again, guys. We see, you know, they're not talking about Anakin as Anakin. He's just talked about as a Jedi. Then we see, you know, Rex creates the plan to go using the storm to hide in. There's like a sandstorm that comes up, and they hide the walker in there, and none of their scanners work. And, you know, right off the bat, Rex's plan, he already knows, because he's worked with these Jedi before, to hide in the sandstorm, even though they can't see it and their sensors won't work. He knows that the Jedi will be able to sense the other walkers. I thought this was very cool to see, very interesting to see. Aaron, I'll let you take the lead on this one.
I actually thought it was a pretty decent plan. Even if he didn't have the Jedi or Kanan or Ezra with him, it's still a decent plan. He just has to shield his mobility and find an escape route, even if he didn't want to attack. So, yeah. It was a good plan.
Yeah. Brian, what'd you think?
Yeah, this is probably my favorite scene out of everything, was mm-hmm. The chase scene with them going into the sandstorm. You know, it was very well drawn as well, not only just as in storyline and, you know, showing how they already knew how to use the Jedi to their advantage, mm-hmm. and how well the two worked together, but the drawing of this part of the episode, you know, we see the AT-ATs come in behind the tank, and we're watching, and it literally looks like sand coming across the screen in mm-hmm. front of the images of the AT-AT in the tank. You know, that kind of draw. You know, I have a little bit of a, you know, art background, graphic design, you know, to watch that kind of stuff, to know that they had to, you know, you have to draw it that way.
Right.
You can't, it's not like not a layered system. You know, you can't just say, okay, here's the chase scene, and then, okay, put sand over top of it. But, you know, you actually have to draw that with the sand and then make them move, but actually make the sand move at a different pace. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I often forget about the animation, honestly, because I'm always you know, so into the story. But that's a great point. You know, Clone Wars was I thought was more detailed sometimes with their animation, but it was also more rigid. Where Rebels is more of a softer tone, and the characters are even more round looking. Where in Clone Wars are more rigid. But it seems to me that because maybe it's from the experience, because they pretty much have the same team that did Clone Wars that they brought over to Rebels, that their animation has gotten a lot better as far as the detail, like you said, with the sand and whatnot. And I always forget about that. So thanks for bringing that up. That's a really good point, and something, you know, I often overlook and just kind of take for granted anymore, because it's just something I come to expect. But yeah, it's really, really well done. It's a great point, Brian. And also, you know, yeah, as far as getting back to Rex and the Jedi, yeah, I love this. It's it's another throwback to the Clone Wars. Like I said, again, you don't have to watch Clone Wars to know what's going on, but if you have, it's just nice to see again. It's that old familiar feel to it, and you kind of see it throughout the whole episode. You know, they even salute Kanan at the end of the episode, even though Kanan doesn't really care for it. It's still kind of the way it used to be. It's like you even hear him say it's just like the old days. You know, so it's nice. Reminiscent, I guess, feeling that comes from the episode, and it's just very cool to see Ezra, you know, use the Force to make the shot to take down the Walker and whatnot too. So, I loved all of that. Really good stuff. Awesome to see. So, all right. So we emerge from the sandstorm. They finally think they can get the shuttle. The Phantom, thank you, off the and make a run for it. The Rebels make a run for it, and even though Ezra is very reluctant to do it, they go ahead and leave. And we kind of see the clones make their last stand, right? So this was kind of neat for me. This would be if I was a kid and I happened to have a Republic tank and an AT-AT Walker toy. You know how you were a kid and you let them fight each other, you know, in your head, and how all that would play out. That was kind of very reminiscent of that to me. Aaron, what did you think?
I actually thought this was probably one of the better parts of the episode, where you kind of see the almost acceptance of, like, this is going to be their, you know, kind of last hurrah, and they kind of just go for a full charge and try to, you know, take out as many people with them as they can.
Yeah, in fact, you know, Agent Callis is taken back. He's like, they're crazy, because they just go right at them. Like I said, in my head, I could actually see myself, you know, doing, you know how you played with the toys as a kid. What do you think, Aaron? Did you think about that at all, or were you just kind of caught up in the story?
I was just caught up in the story part of it. Mm. Yeah, like, I never really played with, like, little AT-AT walkers or anything as a kid, so.
Oh, well, I had an AT-AT growing up, but Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I didn't have any of the Star Wars toys. I had a couple of the characters, but I more so had G.I. Joes, but I can definitely see the point. You know, you play with them in a sandbox.
Right.
This is basically like a giant sandbox that the whole episode was in anyway. Yeah. But yeah, the fact that it was the little guy taking on the more numbers, and he's like, you know what, if you're going to take me out, I'm taking some of you with me. And he just charges head on and then, you know, almost makes the one fall over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a good, it's only a 20-minute show, and it's not that emotional, but I would say it was the closest it came to tugging on your heartstring, like you're pulling for the little guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like he can do it, kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, I enjoyed the whole AT-AT scenes.
Yeah, I just got a kick out of the whole thing, and I even liked, you know, Rex kind of, he gets out, and he's like, come out and fight, you cowards, you know, right before... we see the Rebels return to come in and save them. But yeah, it was just really good scene. And I think we can clearly say, guys, that Agent Callis was more than outmatched with the Rebels and the clones working together here. Brian, I'll let you take this one.
I definitely think that, to be honest, I thought that Callis has been overrated as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
The entire series. he always seems like he's the villain, but he doesn't have the tools to make good decisions.
Yeah.
Ever.
yeah.
You know, and like this was just another thing. He was like, you know, follow him into the sandstorm. You know, we'll get him. Go full force. You know, and. Mm. But every time he does that, he puts himself in danger, he puts everybody else in danger, and then runs away.
Yeah.
But he definitely seemed outmatched now that it's the Rebels and the clones.
Yeah, you know, in season one, we see him kind of really, really injure Zeb in a, like, hand-to-hand combat, and he's kind of looks very menacing, and he looks like he's going to be a pain in, you know, a really bad guy, and now he's kind of the guy they use that always kind of shakes his fist in the air as the Rebels get away, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, what do you think about that?
I think Brian's right about it for the most part. I really think, with the exception of the Inquisitors and, like, Vader himself, you look at the rest of the Empire, and they really just, they borderline on looking incompetent. And to be honest, that might be just in order to make, like, the other characters, like the Inquisitors, actually look more powerful.
No, that's true. So they're using him as a contrast. He's just...
Yeah.
So, yeah, to me it looked like, I don't know, Kallus Khan comes out looking like the bumbling idiot, or the overconfident bumbling idiot, because he thinks he can take out a bunch of old guys and some rebels, you know? So, I don't know, overconfidence is your weakness. your faith in your friends is yours. Okay, so we get a brief introduction to a new Inquisitor. This guy kind of, I don't know, when I look at this guy, I think shark. He's just kind of like a giant brute kind of guy.
A hammerhead?
Yeah, kind of like a hammerhead shark kind of sort of, yeah, because of his hat. That's what I keep seeing anyway. I don't know. Aaron, yeah, go ahead with that. What do you think?
To be honest, he doesn't really come across as looking that intimidating outside of just being a larger guy.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if he sticks around through the whole season or into the next one or not.
Because we, you know, I thought for sure the original Inquisitor was going to be around for a couple seasons, and they killed him off at the end of the first season, so.
Yeah, and to be honest, he seemed like a bit more of an interesting kind of character than the new one, but it's interesting they both kind of have the same sword kind of set up.
Yeah, it seems
a little circular blade one.
Yeah, it seems like that's standard issue, I guess, for Inquisitors. I don't know. Engelbauer, what do you think?
Yes. I was looking online. They're calling this guy the Fifth Brother.
Oh, he's the Sith Brother. Okay.
Yeah, like the Sith Brother or Fifth Brother. I can't remember what he said, but I would have rather seen more of him if he was going to be a part of it. I would have rather seen a little more than just a walk in, talk as he walks away kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't look like the other Inquisitor, it kind of makes, for me, it kind of makes the Inquisitors look like bounty hunters. You know, because when we see the bounty hunters all lined up on, what was that? Was that Empire?
Yeah, Empire. Yep.
When they're all lined up along the deck there on the Star Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all look different, but they're all with the same purpose, you know. And that's kind of what I'm gathering now from these Inquisitors, is that they don't look the same, but they have the same goal. They're just out to get, you know, whoever they're out to get. So they're kind of like bounty hunters.
Yeah, kind of like Force-sensitive bounty hunters. And in a way, they pretty much are. I've never really quite thought of it that way, though, as actually bounty hunters. That's a good point. Yeah, I have to think about that one. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's interesting. So they're calling him the Sith Brother or the Fifth Brother, because, not to get ahead of ourselves, the other Inquisitor, the female, is called the Seventh Sister. I know that for sure, but...
Right, I think it's the Fifth, number five. I think it's the Fifth Brother.
Okay.
It'd be interesting if they referred to the Sith Brother.
So...
be an odd way of phrasing the Inquisition. Just,
yeah, like
version of the Sith Lords.
Well, it could be... Well, it might be like... you know, brotherhood, sisterhood kind of thing, like a dark, you know, maybe that's where they're going with it. I don't know, you know.
Or maybe Inquisitor is just the, like the Padawan for the Sith.
Maybe.
You know, maybe that's their, instead of being, you know, Padawans, they're trainees, they're Inquisitors.
Right.
So they're not full Sith yet.
Well, that's a good point. And could be. That would be an interesting twist on things, and that would be interesting going forward, too, to Episode 7, just to flash forward for a second. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, don't the Sith have kind of a system set up where you don't have more than so many at one given time?
Well, you know, the rule of two, yeah, it's kind of interesting because they have the rule of two, but the rule of two is often broken if you put back in the expanded universe, which is now not... technically canon, but we see it a lot throughout. Where, you know, they're out. Actually, you even see it in Clone Wars a little bit. You have Count Dooku training not just he trains the assassin Saz Ventress, as well as he trains Darth Maul's brother in the series. Can't remember his name right now. Essentially, the yellow Darth Maul, as I like to call him. Yeah, so you do see
Darth Vicious or something like that.
God, I can't
something
remember.
Something kind of silly.
Savage.
Yeah, it was Savage or Savage or
Savage something. Anyway, so yeah, so there is definitely some history of. In fact, that's how Ventress ends up leaving the Sith. Is Palpatine orders Dooku to kill her. You know, she gets away, but still, you know, so. So you see them, you see the Sith kind of break the rule too quite a bit. It seems to be a vague rule, like it's just maybe in title only for the Darth title. I don't know, maybe.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like it, like you can only have, you have the Emperor, and then you have the right hand man who happens to be Darth whoever.
Right.
And then you have all the Inquisitors below them who are next in line to take over in case something happens to that Sith Lord.
Yeah, and not to get off subject here, but I mean, I've got to bring it up. If that is the case, then that might be what happens with Star Wars Episode 7, right? We might have Inquisitors left over trying to bring back the Sith. They just don't know how to take it to the next level, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, so very interesting. Okay, guys, so for the last scene here, we have there's the reunion of Ahsoka and Rex. Very cool to see if you ever watched the Clone Wars, because these two work together a lot. And my bigger question here is Dave Filoni, who's the director of Rebels and executive creator. I'm just wondering if they're bringing these two back together maybe before it's the very end of the end, because neither one of these characters survive into New Hope, Ahsoka or Rex. So,
well, if they do, we wouldn't know about it anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was nice to see. I don't know if maybe I really think they're both going to die either this season or if, you know, into the next season. I don't know. What do you guys think, Ankenbauer?
Well, yeah, I mean, we definitely don't know about Ahsoka in episode
4. Yeah.
So I would say that she definitely dies. Now, as far as Rex, we never really would know about him, especially if what happened this last time after the Clone Wars. He went to this other planet, you know, to live and be kind of like a hermit. You know, that could very well happen again, or it could do the same thing with Ahsoka, but Ahsoka seems more, you know, being the fact of having the Jedi background, that she feels more compelled to help more so than Rex does.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, I think that she'll probably die, but I don't know about Rex.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think Ahsoka's definitely the top of Darth Vader's hit list right now. Aaron, what do you think?
It comes across like they're kind of setting up for at least the battle between Vader and Ahsoka, but to be honest, in how it ends up, or whether it's one of the characters dying or them just flying off to some random or planet and just staying there for, you know, till they die of old age, it's hard to say.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, it'll be interesting to see. Something to look forward to. Another little plot twist that I'm very anxious to see where it goes. All right, guys. Well, it is time for final thoughts. All right, guys, let's get right into our final thoughts here. Ankenbauer, what's your final thoughts, sir?
Okay, my final thought has to do with the AT-T Walker attack sequence. I thought that was awesome. I love that they put him in a sandstorm. It was a cool change to see him in a different environment than what we've seen him in before, like on Hoth. You know, it was neat to see the spotlights on their cabins looking through the sandstorm for the rebels. You know, we didn't see that on them when we saw them in the movie when they were on Hoth. So I thought that was a cool aspect. I think it was interesting that we also got to see a speeder as Kallus gets away.
Yeah.
you know, and then we see a probe droid from Hoth in this episode. So that's three types of vehicles really associated with other planets and certain terrains that we've known them to be a fact with up until now. So, you know, so I'm wondering, you know, what other vehicles are we going to see throughout this season that are going to be on different planets? You know, because we've now we're starting to see those familiar vehicles from the original trilogy show up in this series, but they're not in where we're typically, you know, used to seeing them. So I thought that was pretty pretty interesting.
Yeah, in fact, I watched a little behind the scenes thing, and they had Dave Filoni on, and if you look at the AT-AT walkers, they're slightly different looking than the ones that are they're in Empire. So they explained it as these are like prototypes. So because we're earlier in the storyline, these are like prototypes AT-AT walkers. So they're not exactly a finished product quite yet. So, but yeah, so kind of cool to see. Very cool to see. I love the AT-AT walkers. It was one of my favorite toys growing up. These episodes were, or at least this last episode, was definitely an homage to that. So what was your overall grade then, sir?
My overall grade for these two episodes combined would probably be right about an A-. Only thing that would have made this better would have been either A, more Darth Vader, or B, some kind of lightsaber duel.
Yeah.
That's always been my favorite throughout all the Star Wars, is the lightsaber duels. I'm pretty sure if they did an entire 45-minute episode of just lightsaber duels, I would sit down and watch the whole thing, probably twice. You know, I think it goes back to, you know, as a kid, playing with lightsaber toys or swords or whatnot, that's always the fun, it's the action, you know. A lot of times you can deal without the backstories and everything else. You don't get, you know, you don't really get that involved until you're older and you want to hear, you know, well, how did this come to be, or how did this come to be? When you're a kid or watching or whatever, you're just like, did you see that? Oh my gosh, did you see that? Look at him, watch him, you know. And so that's the only way I think this would have been better, would have given it a higher grade, is if it A, had Vader, more Vader, or B, had a lightsaber duel.
Yeah, agreed, absolutely. Aaron, what's your final thoughts, sir?
I thought it was a pretty good episode overall. It's interesting, it kind of sets up for like the next couple episodes where they're, because a large part of the two-arc episode was trying to get information about where would be a good spot to find like a base and try to set up like kind of a starting point for, you know, building up the rebellion more great or, you know, larger. And I think that could be a focus, you know, in the next couple episodes. And it seems like that'd be kind of an interesting thing, just watching, you know, the rebellion kind of grow and, you know, build up.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see, you know, it's to see, and it's kind of part of my final thought, but I'll just throw it out early that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the rebels, or how the clone troopers help the rebels, maybe, because obviously they fought a war, right? Tactical. Did they help the rebels get more militaristic, maybe? Because right now they're just kind of a ragtag bunch. Maybe a little bit of strategy, but nothing like...
Right, they don't seem very organized.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be kind of cool.
To touch on that, I think that... I'm wondering if one of those bases on that list is actually Hoth.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I didn't think about that at all. That would be kind of cool if that ends up... Somehow they kind of mention that. Give us
a
little...
because, you know, and it's like the Empire always says, we know they have a main rebel base, blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe that's what this ends up being, and we're going to see in Rebels them start to turn that cave system or whatever into their...
Into Hoth, yeah. Or maybe we'll finally see... You know, I think Leia mentions in episode 4 when they're interrogating her, she says Dantooine. Maybe we'll see Dantooine, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and they're like, well, we found the rebel base, but it's been deserted for some time. So maybe, you know, that's a good point, Brian. That'd be awesome if they did something like that. That'd be an awesome little nod, so to speak, to the classic trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, guys, my final thought. It's awesome episode. I give both episodes an A. It was awesome to see the clones back. It was great to see Rex back. Rex was a big character in the Clone Wars. Very popular. I thought it was popular. It was kind of, even though it took a while, in Clone Wars it took a while to get used to seeing Stormtroopers as a good guy, because they've always been a bad guy. But they did a really good job of that. It was really nice to see Rex back and a few of the other guys, especially the Commando Trooper, because a lot of people like that from the video game. So that's a nice little homage there as well. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Rex helps the Rebels. I think it's kind of interesting how Rex has kind of taken Ezra under his wing a little bit. I think it's going to be with Kanan watching very closely. I think because I think we're going to continue to see that mistrust kind of rear its ugly head, and probably rightfully so when you consider he watched the a clone trooper just murder his master, so, and try to kill him as well. So. Going to be great to see. It's going to be awesome to see where we go next with this. So I think they're continuing to hit them out of the park. Even with these episodes, which aren't, I wouldn't say these episodes, they had action, especially episode 3, but the second episode didn't have a lot of action in it, but it was still really good storytelling. Great Star Wars storytelling, in my opinion. So, really, really good. So, guys, it's been excellent show, but an awesome show. Brian, I appreciate you joining us, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, thanks for coming out again, sir.
No problem.
Okay, so where can you find us? You can find us on... where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? You can find us on facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can check us out on Twitter @4MidwestGuys. Or you can contact us via email, 4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. I know every last one of us would love to hear back from you. We're looking for feedback of any kind at this point, positive, negative, otherwise. If you love it, you hate it, you want to hear what do you want us to talk about, let us know. Let us know about this show, Rebels. We've got Gotham Watch. We've got the flagship show is what we call it, the main show, the original show. We do a lot of specials. We just did a Wes Craven tribute. There's also, we could do the wrestling. We've got one coming up tomorrow, Hell in the Cell. So we'll be doing that as well. So our reactions to that. So just let us know. We want to hear back from you. So get out there and talk back to us. We really want to hear from you. So, all right, guys. Well, it's been an awesome show. We'll catch you next time here on Rebels Recon. May the Force be with you.